We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready. On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Welcome back to the show. It's a Tuesday during football season. It's time for Dan Israel. That's part of What's on Tap, courtesy of Side Pockets out of the corner of Kellogg and Tyler, where it's Taco Tuesday out there. At Side Pockets, Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network. How did you feel about 6:30 local time a couple of days ago, and you were getting ready to stroll out of Gillette with a win after stopping Tom Brady on 4th and 2 at the 5? Talk about heart in your throat. Take us through the last 2 or 3 minutes of that game from your perspective, Dan.
You know, it was a lot like playing the Chargers in Mexico, where you felt as the fourth quarter was coming around, you could just almost feel the weight of, oh, no, not again. But, you know, I got to tell you guys, the Chiefs defense did what the whole process of going through revamping the defense, because they couldn't stop Tom Brady. Look, I know it's not the same New England Patriots, but it felt awfully good there at the end of that game to make that stop, especially with Edelman in the end zone. Rashad Breeland making what I thought was a very athletic play. Mm-hmm. Man, did it feel good. I just can't tell you. And frankly, I think the accomplishment there is a little understated too. That is a very, very difficult place to go up and play and win. That's why nobody's done it in the last 2.5 years. And so I think the Chiefs really pulled off something here, and I think the confidence that they get beating the defending world champions, whether or not it's the same team with or without Rob Gronkowski, is irrelevant. They're the defending world champions, and so
sure.
I think it has to feel good inside that locker room as well.
Yeah, no question about it. And how wonderful was it? And I love the thickness of the irony that, for once, calls didn't go the Patriots' way. Now, there were a couple of whistles that actually went the Chiefs' way. And it didn't have to be the Chiefs. How about just anyone ever in Foxborough getting a couple of calls to go their way, Dan? I think anyone that's ever been up there or been around that thing knows it's bizarre how the Patriots get call after call after call. And I don't mean to sound petty about it, but I think that's a very real thing. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs were the beneficiary of a couple of whistles that really kind of helped to mold the end of that football game.
Well, you don't sound petty. A couple of years ago, I actually did the research on it, and it was stunning. I mean, it was like 82 or 83% that the blown calls went in the Patriots' favor. 80%. That you can't flip a coin 10 times and get it to land on one side 8 times. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So it's not – that's definitely not a perspective. That is – those are facts. I cannot remember – we were talking about this getting on the plane, leaving Providence, Rhode Island. I cannot remember a game wherein the Chiefs got so many referee calls go their way that it actually may have made a game-changing difference. I've had it go the other way for sure. But I can't recall one where we were the benefactor of it. So that felt really good. And to do it up there in front of them, I mean, there's only two places that I feel mm-hmm. like we never, ever get calls. New England and Denver. It just seems like you cannot get the referees on your side in those two venues. But I sure felt good that night.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, joining us. And to get back to Brady for a second, let's make it clear that over the last 10 years or so, well, even going back further than that, we propped up Tom Brady, rightfully so, but we credit him so much for doing so much with so little and, quote-unquote, elevating the receivers around him. He hasn't had Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver except for Randy Moss that 1 year. So when we prop him up and give him credit for making these receivers look so much better, we can't blame it on his lack of supporting cast that he hasn't gotten it done the last 2 weeks. You can't have it both ways there. And the Chiefs defense had a big part in that.
You're exactly right. I mean, I do think, you know, with Tom Brady, I think the mental part of it is certainly still there. And as good as he's taken care of his body, there comes a time. I mean, I think one of the things we all learn as we age is just how much your body physically is changing. And even though mentally you still want it to do something, doesn't mean you can make it do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, you know, Father Time catching up with him, I think the fact that he is an immobile quarterback in a mobile quarterback's league, all of those things are going against him. And the Chiefs, the defense for the Chiefs, their game plan was to make him move laterally. He drops very well. So he steps back away from the pocket, but not side to side.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought if they could move him laterally, they could mess with his timing. They could mess with the plays. And that's what they did. I thought they did an outstanding job of getting pressure on him with just four guys.
I don't give a damn about the Patriots. I mean, I really don't. I'm sick of the Patriots. What I care about is the Chiefs coming out of a place that's so difficult to win, a place where the Patriots had won 21 in a row, and the residuals that you get from that. Because what I see from the Chiefs now, Dan, is a team that's kind of starting to come full circle. Started the season off in such dominating fashion, but there were questions about defensively where this team was going to go. Went through the rough patch that inevitably teams in the NFL go through. Even the really good teams, now they're relative rough patches. Sometimes you can still win with rough patches, but everybody goes through them. And now they're starting to, it looks to me, and you can tell me better than anyone, it looks to me like they're getting out in some cleaner air, starting to get a little healthier. Now they have an understanding of what they've got defensively, and they can move and manipulate and put some pieces in the right place. It seems to me that they've emerged in a really good place, and coming out of a place like Foxborough, whether Tom Brady's 43 or whatever the hell he is, it doesn't make any difference. You get a win up there, those are great residuals.
I feel so, too. I feel like that was a statement win. I feel like it was a little bit of a certification stamp on the Chiefs' defense in that they played a championship-caliber team. Whatever you think of the Patriots, they're 10-2.
Sure.
You know, I mean, so I think, you know, they are a championship-caliber team. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they're somewhat your nemesis right now. And so to go up there and make that win happen, will that way. And I don't want to say that it did not escape anyone in the locker room that the Chiefs made some critical errors in that game, and they were very fortunate that they got some calls go their way. They know that if they have to play them again, they can't leave that up to chance again. They know they have to clean those mistakes up. You cannot – it's interesting. Saturday night we were at dinner with some Chiefs sponsors, and I said – they said, well, make a bold prediction. I said, well, you know, I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like we're going to lose the giveaway takeaway tomorrow. I still think we're going to win, but I think we're going to lose the giveaway takeaway. And sure enough, that's kind of what happened. And I feel like the Chiefs escaped that trap. That's, you know, I mean, Gillette's just that kind of place. It's a lot like Arrowhead. It's not easy to play in. But they've had even better statistics, home field advantage than Arrowhead has. So definitely a statement win, in my opinion. I think the confidence that the Chiefs defense gains out of that, playing a championship caliber team, playing Tom Brady, arguably one of the best to ever play the game. The Chiefs offense went up against what's the league's best, one of the best defenses right now, and was able to, you know, make their way down the field. And a couple of big things happened in that game. One, they got a couple of third and threes where they had to have the ball. They were able to bruise that ahead with Spencer Ware. I loved seeing that. And the other side of that was they got stops on Tom Brady. I mean, he had a number of three and outs, and
yep.
They stalled drives. And as a defense, you want to get that opponent off the field on third down, and they were able to do that. Really encouraging.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, to Dan's point, defensively and Brady being under siege pretty much all game. Number one, I was really proud of Steve Spagnuolo saying, look, we're going to continue to do defensively what got us here in the first half or three quarters, mm-hmm. and that's bringing the heat. Didn't fall back into coverage. And number two, by my count, the five biggest offensive plays for the Patriots were a flea flicker, a halfback pass, two pass interference penalties, and a Brady 17-yard run.
Yeah.
That was it.
Like living off a PBJ. You can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that.
I'm going to have to remember that one.
It may fill you up for, you know, get you over the hangry mode, but you're not going to make a living out of that. I just it's marvelous to me to see that offense of theirs sputter, and the fans were fighting in the crowd, and you know, it's just so much arrogance up there. It just felt good to see that kind of shine come off of it a little bit.
Are the Chiefs a defense first team now, or is that jumping the gun?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a little early to say that, but I will say this. I think that inside the locker room, the Chiefs offense no longer feels like they have to carry the game. And that's a big shift, guys. You know, whether or not you can say, okay, this is the 1985 Bears or not, I mean, defense wins championships, all of that stuff. The Chiefs know they still have a little bit of issue with running game, and they know they've still got some errors, some technical stuff they need to clean up, but they no longer feel like if they don't score on every play, they're not going to win the game. And I think that's a huge shift. They really have a trust in their counterpart there. And when you talk about complementary football, that's the kind of thing I feel that I'm not sure that we had a lot of teams that have been there. You know, we've either strong defensively or we're strong offensively. I remember in the Vermeil era, we had the same thing where we'd score 50 points in a game and still lose it. This is a legit defense, and I think the thing that you see between Bob Sutton's defense of the prior 3-4 years and this Steve Spagnuolo is you've gone from being this highly intellectual defense to a physical one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may not be as complicated, but man, is it more punishing. And I just like it. It feels right, and it feels like it's going to do much, much better going into December and January.
Dan Israel joining us, obviously, from the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, as he does each and every Tuesday. Very gracious with his time, and we certainly appreciate it, certainly appreciate his insight. All right, you come home. Is there any sense that you got to kind of guard for a trap game? You're playing a team you beat 30-6 on the road. You're coming off a win against New England. But now, I see the Chiefs as a team that's battling now for as much home field as they can possibly get. They've already got the division tucked away. Any concern with the new-look Broncos coming to town?
Well, I haven't had a chance to actually watch the Broncos' last couple of games. However, I can tell you that I actually live in the city that Drew Locke grew up in, Lee Summit, and I've seen him play at the high school level. I watched a couple of his Mizzou games, and Drew's a winner. You know, he's a fiery kid. He's got a quick release. He is going to make a difference for those Broncos. I still feel like the Chiefs are a better team than the Broncos, but I think anytime you get a team on fire like the Broncos are right now, that worries me. You know, it worries me for sure. You definitely want to get through that game without injury. But I think, you know, as you mentioned, you're fighting for home field advantage. The Chiefs have a shot here at getting that number two spot, and that's a big difference. So I think it's got to be a full court press. I'm going to find it fascinating to see, you know, if you're Drew Locke, here you're a 22-year-old kid. You grew up in Kansas City. You watched the Chiefs in Arrowhead. That was your hometown team. Now you're coming back as the starting quarterback of the opponent. That's a lot of pressure for this kid. It's going to be fascinating to watch and see how he fares through that, because Not to mention that he's going to cost him a pretty penny. Welcome to the National Football League, Drew. Friends and family count
about 80 tickets or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Isn't right. that the truth?
Yeah.
At Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, you can hear the Chiefs Kingdom Show right here on KFH Thursday night on air at 6 right here on KFH, and then the Chiefs and Broncos on air at 11, kickoff at 12 over on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. One thing that we haven't mentioned and kind of, sort of, a little bit got overlooked because he made it through the game and he played okay was Patrick Mahomes' bruised hand. They had some x-rays on his right hand, no break in there, but bruised. How do you anticipate him making it through the week this week? I don't think there's, unless he has a setback, there's no issue about him not playing against the Broncos. But that's kind of a, you know, just when we thought we were getting him healthy again, he fell on his hand.
Yeah, and I like the fact they're calling it a bruise and not, you know, any kind of ligament stretch or tear or any of that, because this affects his ability to grip the football. We could tell it, you know, Sunday watching it, he just wasn't spinning the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mahomes really throws a tight spiral, and it wasn't spiraling like it normally does, and that was because his thumb just couldn't grip it underneath. And so I think the fact that it's bruised indicates that that's a pain situation and not a real long recovery situation. So I think medically, if they get the swelling down, they get that, you know, blood exchanged out of there, get the bruising, the swelling out of it, I think he'll probably be fine. And that's also something, I mean, I don't know what the medical staffs do these days. You know, back in Tony Gonzalez's days, they used to just shoot it up, a shot, and the guy would go back out and play. They'd just numb it up enough where he couldn't feel it. And I don't know if they still do that kind of stuff or not, but I don't anticipate that it'll probably be, especially when they know now what they're dealing with. I think the part of the problem was, on Sunday, Mahomes wasn't telling him what was going on. He fell on it, and they could see him fiddling with it, and they kept asking him, and he just kept shaking it off. And so, you know how players are, right?
Right, especially him.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's money time now, and I know, Dan, for you that this is really the exciting time, because really this is what we primed for. Since August, or really even late July, when you get back into camp, this is the time of the year you want to be going at a competitive rate. But the level of excitement, anticipation, and the potential for what could come down the road right now really is heightened at a very much different kind of level, isn't it?
It is, and you know, I get that the Baltimore Ravens might look unstoppable now, but very early in my career, I'll never forget, in 1993 we progressed through the playoffs, made our way to Houston, where Houston was the hottest team in the AFC. They had won 12 straight games. Warren Moon was just dissecting people surgically. I mean, it was unbelievable how good their run and shoot was, and everybody talked about it, MVP this, and just like they're talking about the Ravens. And Joe Montana went down there, and we beat them and ended up in the AFC Championship. So I feel like with this defense, guys, continuing to get better week after week. And let me tell you something about Frank Clark and our medical staff. Kudos to the doctors here. Trainers and equipment guys really came into play with this game, with the missing equipment and the illness. Frank Clark on the plane Saturday looked like there was no chance of him playing. When he walked by me on the plane, he was physically pale. My understanding was he was in the hospital the night before in the emergency room doing with some GI thing. There were reports that he had a GI bug or something. Mm-hmm. And so he was throwing up nonstop. They got him hydrated. The difference between him on the plane and him out there playing, to me, is unimaginable. I've been struggling with this flu thing for 2 weeks. They had him from what looked like a guy that should be in an ICU on the plane on Saturday. I couldn't even tell. Watching him play Sunday, I couldn't even tell he was ill. I really don't know how they did it. But
yeah, obviously we couldn't. The entire defensive front looked great. So
it was so good. So I think, you know, couple that he was ill and they played Brady that well, I think, you know, if they continue to play week after week, it is going to be, and I mean this sincerely, it is going to be an exciting playoff run.
No kidding.
So what's the actual explanation of the Chiefs' equipment going to Newark? Did we get to the bottom of that? What's the deal?
Yeah, I'll give you the actual. You know, I said on the air Sunday, I said, I talked to the guy that loaded the plane, and he told me, quote, I was just doing what Uncle Bill told me to do. But the reality of this is, yeah, I know.
That's good.
Somehow, somewhere, the Patriots are at fault.
Yes.
The reality of this was the guys that normally do the ground crew that normally loads and unloads the plane, that guy's wife was having a baby, and there was a substitute guy in there, and it's just kind of an innocent communication where one guy said something to the other guy, and the other guy interpreted it the way he was used to interpreting it, and that's not what the guy meant. So they didn't realize that they had a container in there backwards, and when they looked into it, it looked empty because they couldn't see the other side of it. So the plane, they sealed up the trucks, drove them to the stadium, and then the plane took off with some of our stuff still in it and on its way to Newark. And I will lay the fault a little bit at the Patriots on this, because there was a high school championship game at Gillette on Saturday night, and the Patriots/Gillette folks, operational staff, wouldn't let our equipment guys come into the stadium Saturday night like they normally would. In a normal situation, our guys get off the plane. When we land in a city, they get off the plane, immediately get on a truck and go to the stadium, unload all our stuff, make sure it's all there. If that had happened, this would have been discovered on Saturday night. This would never have even been a story. But because it wasn't discovered till Sunday, it was really something they had to report to the league, because if they couldn't figure everything out, it was going to impact the game. So that's how it kind of became a story, but just kind of some innocent mistakes, you know, perfect storm.
Is it true that the Chiefs came somewhat close to having to forfeit because of that?
I don't know where that part of the story came from, because, no, that was never going to happen. I can tell you, we were in the locker room, and I was talking with Alan Wright, the Chiefs equipment manager, and he, in his left hand, he was working out what happened, and in his right hand, he was working out alternatives. They had found a school that had reddish, quasi-red helmets, and they were going to get those helmets, peel all the decals off. They had all the decals for the Chiefs they needed to re-sticker the helmets.
Oh, my gosh.
They had,
goodness.
It was, yeah, so they were prepared to play that game. And then I said that they were missing jerseys, some jerseys and some shoulder pads and some helmets. They think they locally sourced all of those, and they were missing some game balls, which they could have gotten from the Patriots. They would have had to put air in it if they got it from the Patriots.
Well done. Nice. He's here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Attaboy, Dan.
Try the veal, guys.
All right, we got the Chiefs Kingdom show coming up on Thursday right here on KFH at 6. And the Chiefs and Broncos, the Chiefs currently at number 3 seed in the AFC after sewing up the AFC West. 11 a.m. pregame kick at 12 over on 98.7 and 1330. Great stuff, Dan. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet, guys.
All right. Dan Israel, all right, Chiefs Radio Network. Wow. You knew Dan
was
having
that was
a few
great
zingers.
Stuff, man.
That was
very entertaining.
Pretty solid material by him.
Can you imagine having to mobilize to the point where you're contacting people about using helmets?
No.
I mean, I can't even that
this
is
the
I
NFL,
can't even get
and
to
that's,
that.
That's what we almost came to. Peeling off high school helmet stickers in order to play a high-profile AFC Patriots-Chiefs
game. That's just crazy.
That is crazy. All right, speaking of crazy, Steven Strasburg got a $245 million deal, so what does that mean for Gerrit Cole? Plus, we have two brand-new members of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, and the draft is in Omaha now. Finally, a little sense.
Boy.
The Major League Baseball draft decides to go in between the Super Regionals and the College World Series. So now every single player, if they want to, can attend the Major League Baseball draft. And it's in Omaha. Finally. Cooler heads prevail.
Makes so much sense.
100%.
And they could have been doing it for 25 years.
Well, they probably could have, but baby steps, I guess. We'll take what we can get.
I hear you.
Some baseball talk, hot stove heating up already. I guess nobody wants to hang around and wait to sign with teams. We'll talk to you about that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.